Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered what it would sound like if Bruce Springsteen sang about parenting?
When need diapers and wipes, would you stop at the store, pick up a case of them tonight? When need diapers and wipes. But don't be mad, you know I would have done it myself if I remembered. Ooh, if I remembered last night.
It is music day here on Babble Talk Radio, so let's go. Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Babble Talk Radio. It is Friday, August 7th, and we're live, unless you're listening to the archive, in which case we're not live. Sorry about that. If you would like to call in, the number is 347-996-5362, or you can log into the chat room. Looks like a few of you are there already, and we're glad you're here. So, yes, it's music day on Babble Talk Radio. We began with an example of my excellent musical ability. I know that some of you thought that really was Bruce Springsteen, you know.
Sorry
to disappoint you, but that's okay. We're talking about music for the full half hour. I could talk about music all day. I don't know who would listen, but, you know. My guest today is Rob Hampton from Heartwood Guitar Instruction. And Rob is the guitar teacher, some would say guitar god, who taught Wesley how to play Folsom Prison Blues. And before we get to Rob, let's play a little clip of that, because it's just much too cute.
When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, you'll never play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno, just to watch him die.
Yes, indeed. Hey, Rob, are you there?
Hey, Brett, how you doing?
Good, how are you? I cannot tell you, that line in particular, I mean, I'm sure you've heard this 1,000 times by now since the video became popular, is just, I mean, it's the funniest thing I've heard in quite some time.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, people love that line.
Did he pick that song, the kid, or?
Yep, he's a huge Johnny Cash fan. He loves the great storytellers, Neil Young, Bob Dylan, Johnny Cash. He's gotten into Michael Jackson recently, who I guess doesn't really fit that category.
I was going to say, I don't know if I'd put him in great story. I mean, you know, not that he's untalented, but him
right.
and Neil Young probably not collaborating.
Yeah, Michael Jackson's a new twist.
Right. Well, listen, to be fair, I think at this point there's going to be a lot of kids that are suddenly interested in Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
I mean, does he understand what the song is about?
Definitely not the way we do, obviously. I don't really know. He occasionally asks about lyrics of songs. He is interested in lyrics. He listens to them to some extent. He hasn't asked about the meaning of anything in Folsom Prison Blues that I can remember. And I think he's, you know, different people listen to music in different ways. That's true of adults and also of kids. So, you know, like you talk to, often you'll talk to a bass player or drummer, and they'll say that from an early age they fixated on that instrument. And kids are the same way. And but I think Wesley's one of those people who is captivated just by the kind of the theatrical presence of a great musician. He just seems to really be attracted to Johnny Cash's style, his presence, his command of the stage.
Well, the kid is kid's unbelievably poised. I mean, when I saw it, I was watching it again to prepare for this, and at first I was going to ask you if he was actually playing chords, because it's a little tough to tell. I mean, is he sort of playing notes, or is he playing? I mean, it's a little hard to tell from the video.
Yeah, well, about Wesley's poise, I agree, and he's really interested in theater. He's taking acting classes actually right now too, and loves it. And when we do lessons, a lot of it is all in make believe. Like our last lesson, we had the whole lesson we pretended we were on a radio show.
Wow.
And he's listened to enough radio where he can like kind of imitate the radio voice. we're on Kiss FM.
Deal.
You know, today's hottest music. And he'll, like, throw in little plugs for the radio station and advertisements and stuff. And so we just it's a way for me to keep him motivated to practice during our lesson and, you know, to stay focused. It's hard to keep a five-year-old focused on anything. So.
Well, that's the other thing, of course. I mean, how long have you been working with him?
A year and a half.
Okay. So he was 3 and a half when you started?
Or wait a minute. Let me think. No, he's about 5 and a half now, and we started when he turned 4. So
It's not impressive. Because it's not the other thing I was going to say. I mean, he's playing, and then I looked at the Blues Jam video. And let me just play this real quick, because I don't know, because obviously not as many people saw that as saw, you know, I shot a man in Weno just to watch him die. So it just cracks me up every time. But listen to this.
Yeah, that was good impersonation, Brett.
Thank you. I'm working on it. This though actually impressed me more in some ways, because this is him soloing. Yeah. Listen to this.
Yeah.
So there's 0, 3, 5, 7, 10, 12.
The minor pentatonic scale.
You guys ready?
Yep, ready.
Okay. I mean, how do you teach a kid that young to do that? I mean, if you see the video, he's not, you know, this isn't Eddie Van Halen, you know, with the fingers wobbling all over the fretboard and everything, but he clearly has, there's a lot going on there. There's rhythm, he has to know which note goes where and which note sounds good. But what I thought was interesting is that you, and correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, I play guitar and I've taken a minimal amount of lessons, that it looks like you're not as focused on this is how you hold the pick and this is how you have to strum as much as let's get a sound out of this thing. Is that a fair?
Yeah, musicality.
Okay,
right.
Musicality.
And
so what does that mean?
Yeah. You know, just making it sound good, basically. You know, there are a lot of elements that go into playing something like that. I think Wesley did like 90% of his homework even before I started teaching him, when he just had a toy guitar and would just womp on it while he'd watch his favorite YouTube videos. I mean, he wasn't surfing the web, but he'd ask, can I watch some Bob Dylan? So his mom would put a Bob Dylan clip on.
But he was
on,
4 and he would say, he's 4 years old and he says, Mom, can I watch some Bob Dylan?
Yeah.
How does he know who Bob Dylan is? I mean, does he have a Bob Dylan mobile or something? I mean, it's time to go to sleep. I mean, you know, what?
Oh, Brett, man, that's genius. You should market that.
Thank you. The Bob Dylan for kids. Well, you know, if he can do Victoria's Secret ads, I mean, you never know what's next for him.
How dry I am.
Exactly. Do you have a stuffy nose? But I mean, I guess the mother must have introduced it to him at a pretty young age.
Yeah, you'd have to ask her. I don't know exactly how music was introduced. It was probably just playing around the house, you know, the way a lot of kids pick up on music. I don't know, you know, how selective she was about.
But he obviously had an above average level of interest before he got to you. This wasn't like a kid who's not interested and you sort of said, okay, I'm going to make you do this.
Yeah, mom called and she's like, you've got to get this kid in for guitar lessons. She's obsessed.
I mean, do you think that's...
Yeah, and so did you want to know some more about the technical stuff? Because I love talking about that, too.
let me
I keep avoiding the question, so...
No, that's all right. You know, that's my job. We got a little bit of time. But let me just ask you this. I mean, is that important, do you think, for a kid to come in with a certain level of interest as opposed to, you know, the typical I'm forcing you to play to take piano lessons kind of, you know, kind of image that people have?
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's a delicate dance that parents do trying to introduce their kids to music. There's definitely some kids who are just totally gung-ho from the get-go. And then for a lot of kids, I think getting them started by letting them dabble in things. You know, if you have the money to invest in just some cheap versions of a bunch of different instruments and just have them around the house And hopefully you've got kind of a high tolerance level for noise, just letting the kids fool around with it for a while and see if they gravitate toward a particular instrument.
Right.
Often that can kind of give you a clue into what to start them on.
So if they're playing and say, if they're doing something and it seems like there's an interest, because I think playing an instrument is a great thing. And I think, listen, I picked up, my mother had an old, God, I think it was a, I want to say it was a Goya acoustic guitar that, you know, is she still has and it's held together with duct tape at this point. And she used to sing, you know, folk songs and Peter, Paul, and Mary, that sort of thing. And I just picked it up. I think I was 7, and I just started playing. I sat on a fire escape in the Bronx, and I just started banging on this thing. And eventually I got my first electric, which was a Hondo, which was a horrible guitar that I eventually got rid of. It was like a Telecaster knockoff, and a little amp. And then all through high school, I had my own band. And, it was a hardcore band. So, you know, some might take issue with it. But we wrote songs. We rehearsed. We got to do audition night at CBGB's, which, you know, now that the club is gone, is a big deal. Yeah, I mean, that's just, you know, we wrote our name on the wall next to the Ramones. And, you know, it was cool. And there's really nothing better. As horrible as it is being in a band in some ways, there's also, it was the greatest thing in the world. It was so much fun. And I love being able to play guitar now, even if it's largely for me. I mean, I'm not under any delusion, you know, that other than, you know, the song parody here, I, you know, do some stuff on my own. But it's very satisfying, I think, and it's a good thing to introduce kids to, the same way introducing them to a foreign language is a good thing.
Right. Unfortunately, we're in a culture where, you know, introducing a child to playing music or singing is this sort of artificial process, and for most of human history, it was as natural as sitting down and having dinner. And so it's too bad that it takes more effort to get kids involved in music these days.
I don't mean to cut you off, but singing they do. I mean, you said something interesting there, and I just thought of it, is they definitely sing at a young age, but I think at a certain point, there's not – is it maybe fair to say, and now I'm generalizing enormously – is it fair to say that maybe the choices of music start to get more and more lame? I mean, that I remember in sixth grade they put us in an orchestra, and I mean I didn't have any interest in playing the violin. I wasn't good at it, and you know by eighth grade I was 10th violin out of 4, and it was just it didn't work. Where I wanted to do something else, so it's not to say everybody has to cater to everybody else, but it became like we're cramming this down your throat as opposed to this is something that can be fun.
Right. I think the whole concept of lame music is all part of the problem. And I mean, I definitely believe that there is lame music out there. But a young person, like, categorizing music into lame and cool is, I think part of this phenomenon. You know, I like to, when I think about, like, you know, how our screwy modern American culture, I like to test it by thinking about, like, what did, to the best of our knowledge, what did tribal communities do, or what do a lot of cultures do these days that aren't totally bombarded by TV and radio and things like that? And you know, they singing and playing music is just a part of everyday entertainment, and it starts from day one and just keeps going on from there. So you don't find yourself in a position in the sixth grade of having no music to play because you're singing it, you know, every weekend at church or, you know, after dinner, sitting by the fire. And
it's
so
that's
kind of the ideal.
Yeah, but it's also how it fits into your life. I mean, that I think some kids I also think there's an emphasis on fame. Is that you have a lot of people who want to be, you know, they might listen to, you know, Sean Kingston or, you know, would somebody please call 911 because this poor woman has been on fire for months now and she's on the dance floor and, you know, it's just horrible. I think her name is Shawty. But, that they might hear that and then eventually start to think they can do it themselves, but not necessarily in an expressive way, more in I want to be a superstar, which I think is reinforced by Hannah Montana and all of this other, you know, stuff that I personally don't like, and luckily my kids aren't interested in it, so it makes my life easier.
Yeah, I think of this photo that kind of represents that aspect of American culture and just kind of modern media culture, and it's a Miss America pageant where the winner is up there on the podium clutching her trophy with this look of ecstasy on her face. And then next to her is the number two winner, the second most gorgeous, fabulous
right.
woman in America, and she's bawling. And I think that, you know, that phenomenon happens with music where either you're a total superstar and you rock or you suck.
Right. I mean, I used to work in theater, and I taught a class once about sort of theater business to actors. And I used as an example of, you know, how to make yourself insane is the Eminem song, you know, Lose Yourself. It's like, you know, you only get one shot. You know,
uh-huh.
don't miss your chance. This is it. This is the only chance. I mean, okay,
right.
let's be as neurotic as we can possibly be because life's not hard enough. I mean, I understand the motivation. I know that motivates a lot of people. But that also, I mean, that could drive you into the loony bin. I mean, that's the, you know,
yeah.
the only thing you're after. Jason Alexander had a great line. He said somebody at a he was speaking somewhere, and they said, you know, I really, really want to be famous. How do I do that? And he said what he wanted to say, which he didn't say, was, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to shoot you. You're
yeah.
going to be famous because Jason Alexander shot you, but also no one will ever have to hear from you again. And he said, I didn't say
brutal.
That because I couldn't, but it's like, what do you mean all you want to be is famous?
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to play, just so everybody knows that, I mean, that Wesley is a little bit above average, but also that you're not churning out, you're not doing like a factory thing where you're turning out these Stepford musical children. This was another kid, I don't know who it was, who was singing the Foo Fighters song, Big Me. Let's just play this real
oh,
quick.
Yeah.
And I don't want to put the kid down. That's adorable. But it's also more what you might think a kid, I don't know how old he is, maybe 6 or 7, would
yeah.
sound like. I mean, that's probably more – I mean, is that a fair – I mean, I can't imagine all the kids sound like Wesley.
No, yeah, I think, you know, Wesley's definitely got some natural talent. I'm using tricks with the kids that I think are surprising to people who haven't heard him play before that make him sound – surprisingly good.
Well, now, what does that mean?
And actually, Jack, what
sorry,
does that mean?
Ahead. No, I mean, you say using tricks. I don't want to forget that.
Like,
that's interesting.
Like, both Jack and Wesley are just playing the bass line of the song, which is not a common way to teach guitar. Guitar is typically strummed, at least when beginners are learning how to play it. The first thing you learn on a guitar is how to strum a chord, and it, you know, it sounds a lot more pleasing than just playing one note, but it's also a lot harder, and
mm-hmm.
young kids don't have the coordination to place two fingers accurately, and so we start by just learning how to fret one note on the sixth string, which is the lowest pitch string on the guitar, and then they learn bass lines to songs they like.
That's
and
really
so
quite
just,
brilliant, actually, because it's if you take a song like Folsom Prison Blues, or I don't really know Big Me as well, but it sounds like that too.
Uh-huh.
You can play and sing that much more easily just by playing the bass note and then singing along. And there's got to be a feeling of accomplishment that they get from that.
Totally, and it sounds decent. It doesn't sound too bad.
No, not at all.
It's simple, but you know, it gives the kid a chance to sing, which is really, I mean, that's until you get really good at the guitar, you're not going to entertain anyone just playing guitar. The quickest way to give people joy in listening to you make music is by accompanying yourself on the guitar and singing. So that's the quickest way to get them to do that. And actually, Jack is sounding a lot better these days. He'd only been playing playing and singing at the same time for a couple months before that show. So
I'm pretty psyched. Yeah, I don't want to get. I mean, I thought he sounded great. I mean, it's only in contrast to Wesley, who, quite frankly, you know, could go on like an America's Got Talent or something and probably set the world on fire. How did this come to be known? I mean, was it just on YouTube and somebody just happened to find it?
Well, I posted all those videos. They're from like a student recital that I do with my students twice a year called the Coffee Shop Jam. And posting the videos was just an easy way to share them with my students. And I also occasionally would post them on my blog. I have a, you know, just a small readership that looks at my blog, and I like to share those kinds of things with them. A lot of them are teachers or other guitarists. I don't know how they found it, but someone on boingboing.net, which is this huge, they call it a directory of wonderful things.
Yes, Boing Boing is popular. I think it's the most popular blog online. If you do it by stats, I think it's literally the most read.
Yeah, so someone on there posted that video, and then it just went.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, it's like 500,000 views or something like that. I mean, does the kid, I mean, you said he's been on YouTube. Does Wes, you know, is Wesley aware of it?
A little bit. I think, you know, that his mom and I have been talking a lot about how to handle this because we're both pretty wary of all the destructive things that, you know, a huge amount of attention can do to a young person and just, like, what a pain in the ass the media can be and everything. So, so we're talking a lot about how to handle it. And I think we haven't talked a ton about, like, how to talk to Wesley about it, but he's got some wonderful parents. And so my impression is they're just, like, saying, yeah, that song you play, people really like it, and a lot of people are watching it on YouTube, you know? And then he's like, cool.
Right.
Can I go bike riding?
Exactly, because he's five and he has no idea. And I think that makes sense. I mean, that you're not – here's the thing. I mean, this isn't – I mean, I suppose there would be something you could do with it if you were of the Eminem, you know, you only get one shot kind of thing, and this is my shot.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, I wouldn't – having spent, you know, some time admittedly on the bottom of the entertainment industry, but I was there – I don't know. There's a limit to what you could do with this, unless you want to be like a William Hung or something, you know. And I don't
think
William Hung. He lost on American Idol, but he was a horrific singer.
Guy who's kind of.
I believe I can fry. I believe
right,
I can touch sky. I mean, he was awful.
Yeah.
But you know, and it was sort of a joke, and it's a little bit hard to tell. You think he might actually not be all there when he talks, but he sold a couple hundred thousand CDs, from what I understand, you know, so good for him. But that was like a freak show, and I actually, again, you don't know what's going to happen when somebody gets older. I mean, he seems to have a lot of talent. I mean, it's really just being able to sit up on stage and make his way through the song like that. You know, regardless of the fact that he appears to be pretty much on key and getting the lyrics right, you know, and also he's got. I mean, I guess he must be mimicking the Johnny Cash, you know, cadence.
Yeah, no, he's from Seattle.
Well, no, but I mean, I thought a man.
Oh, you mean
Reno.
The cadence? I'm sorry, I misunderstood you. I thought you were talking about his little bit of country accent that he is.
Oh yeah, well no, well that too. Actually, now that you mention it, yes, I mean that's even more so. But just the fact that you know he's obviously on a melody line or whatever it is that he's not just going, you know, he's not just fumbling through it. I mean that's a full performance.
Right. He's got a great sense of timing in his melodies. He's not, you know, most kids his age don't really sing on pitch that well, and you know, his pitch is going all over, and that's, you know, that's totally natural. But he's got a great sense of rhythm, and I think that's what makes it, that's a lot of what makes it such a cool performance. He's just like, you listen to those words, and they're just punching through like a snare drum.
Yeah, I mean the bass note thing is really... We've got a few minutes left, and so let's talk a little bit about technique, because that's something that, as a guitar player, was always sort of a problem. I took very few lessons, and for a little while, there was someone who used to be a good friend of mine, isn't anymore, not because of the guitar lessons, but he was a very serious guitar player. He built archtops for a while. He was a big jazz guy, and he said, you got to play it, you know, you got to play everything, you know, the right way. You got to hold the pick the right way. And it just sort of got to a point where it was sort of sucking the joy out of it. And it also just wasn't what I was doing. I mean, I'm doing stuff like this. You know, so
Brett, you're not holding the pick the right way there.
Exactly. I mean, I'm using a metal pick. I mean, this was, you know, 20 whatever years ago. I'm using this enormous metal pick that somebody found in Giant Studios in New York, and because it made it louder, you know. I mean, and I've gotten much better since then. After years of playing crummy guitars, my wife, in a very nice move, bought me a Paul Reed Smith. I mean, she said, "Buy whatever you want." I bought a Paul Reed Smith. It's amazing how having a better guitar makes you want to play better.
Yeah.
Because you just get better sounds out of it, and it's just a beautiful, it's just a beautiful guitar. But the thing is, you know, for me, I had to kind of get there on my own, and I wanted to, there were things I wanted to learn, but I didn't really want to have it browbeat into me. And I think if that guy were teaching kids, he would be saying, you got to strum, you got to do chords, you got to do this. And so you don't do that. So I guess tell me, other than playing bass notes, I mean, how do you kind of teach these kids?
You just, well, just teaching in general, you need to know what your students' goals are, and you're gonna teach them according to their goals. If they want to get in a band as soon as possible, you know, if they're really interested in super technical heavy metal, something like that, then you're going to emphasize technique more. But, you know, kids don't have goals like that. Kids just want to engage in this music they love. They want to make it. They want to perform. And so, so I don't really emphasize technique very much with the kids. We're much more focused on being able to sing and play at the same time so that they can entertain other people. So that they can play along with someone else too. We work on playing together so that you know, they're not just performing by themselves for the rest of their lives. And then we if they have any interest in songwriting, we work on that too. There is a certain amount of technique that you do need to teach, or else things are just a total mess. And really, you know, if you want to learn how to play an instrument well, it's just so tedious and boring for a kid to really, you know, learn the guitar well. A lot of people who haven't learned an instrument before don't realize the hours of repetition that it takes to get your fingers to cooperate.
Right. I mean, he had me doing these finger exercises, and I mean, you know, and I can't even imagine being a kid and trying to do that. And
yeah.
An adult, and I was motivated, but I finally just said, well, screw this. Not because I didn't think it was valuable, and not because I didn't understand why he was telling me to do it. It was because it wasn't my goal, is that I wasn't looking to be, I don't know if you know guy Steve Morse, if you know him, guitar player. I mean, I'm a big Dixie Dregs fan, and I saw him do like a thing at a guitar store and became a big fan of his and saw him live. He's got amazing technique. I'm not going to play like that. I'm not, you know, I mean, there's no way, and I'm not that he's the greatest guitar player ever, Eddie Van Halen, whoever you want to talk about, or you get into, you know, jazz players, Wes Montgomery, you know, whoever. I'm not going to play like those guys. I know that. But, I would like to get better at what I do, but that there's, I mean, you know, taking into account sort of who you're teaching, and yeah, I mean, a kid's going to get into it if they can get up and show somebody what they've done. I mean, how many macaroni ashtrays do we have? I mean, kids love to show us what they did, right?
Yeah. Do kids still make macaroni ashtrays?
Oh, we have all kinds of nonsense. I mean, it's gotten a little better because there's a weird thing that happens that's happening now, I find, is that the adults are a little more involved. You know, there's a lot less of letting kids just kind of do their own thing, which is a whole other thing. But, yeah, I mean, there's still – we've got some picture frames and some there's a cool one. There was one that was actually looked kind of neat. It was some sort of Mylar, so it looked like a mirror. But it was, you know, popsicle sticks and, you know, Cheerios and whatever. It's the same nonsense. My son came home from camp the other day with the prizes from the, you know, the fair or carnival they had. It was the same dopey stuff, like a little whistle and wax lips. It's the same.
Right.
Yeah, there's a store. They're kept in business by camp. They sell lanyards and, you know, wax lips and, you know, all the
right.
garbage. But
yeah, well, getting a kid to perform, I mean, that's a great way to encourage them to do their homework. That's why I started the coffee shop jams. It's turned into, you know, kind of this big extravaganza now. But our first coffee shop jam was like a little open mic thing, and I started it because I wanted my students to practice. And there's no bigger motivator to practice than the excitement, you know, of anticipating performing and the dread that you're going to screw it up. You know?
Let me stop you for one sec. Can you hang out for another couple of minutes? We're about to the official time is going to end in about 30 seconds.
Okay.
Rob Hampton, Heartwood Guitar. It's heartwoodguitar.com. I'll put all of this in the show notes and all the videos and everything else that you can watch. But come back and listen to the archive because we're going to keep talking for a few more minutes because I got more questions. So
cool.
Brett Singer, Babbel.com, Babbel Talk Radio, and let's go. So what do you do if a kid has stage fright? Has that happened? I mean, how do you talk them through that?
Well, everyone gets a little nervous before the show. I've had young kids bow out at the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
I try to prepare. What's that?
You allow them to do that? You don't.
Totally.
You don't take off your belt like Joe Jackson and force them to go.
No, I haven't read about that technique. I'll have to look into it. But my first reaction, is right, exactly.
Yeah, no, let's not do that.
I'm very low pressure. What I tell all my students is, the coffee shop jam is super cool. The crowd is going to love you no matter what. The crowd is just friends and family members and others of my students. For the most part. And so it's just, it's such a great opportunity to play for an enthusiastic crowd. So so it's, I just tell them I'd love it if you did it. I bribe them sometimes, but never make them do it. And if they bow out, then that's fine. Eventually,
right.
Everyone wants to join in on the fun. Cause
right, of course. It sounds great. I mean, I have to say. I mean, one thing you were there were some less than positive comments, I guess, on YouTube, and I guess you deleted those.
At first I tried to be a little more democratic with the comments, and then I realized that this is like my living room here. It's one of my students putting their videos up there, and I'm not going to let anyone say anything in there that I wouldn't allow.
Yeah, I mean, not to be sanctimonious. I mean, I'm astonished at what people will say about a kid. I mean, it's bad enough, oh, that's gay, dude, you're gay. But, I mean, were people saying that about him? I mean, he's five. Were they kind of going there with
him? Yeah, I've heard some of the comments on YouTube are just like the most awful thing you could ever hear anyone say. And they're usually said by teenagers.
Right.
You see that and you understand. Oh, okay, this person isn't.
We all know young people are not to be trusted. I don't trust anyone under 40. That's my personal opinion. Except for me, of course. But I mean, there were a few that were cute. I guess the ones you left in. That Twain keeps a woolen. There were a lot of that. Johnny is smiling on that kid. The baby crying towards the end was his cellmate at Folsom. That was my favorite. That was very funny.
I like that one. Yeah.
And then I guess on your blog you got a comment from Bill Miller. I don't know who.
Super cool.
Yeah, I mean, who is that? Tell me who that is.
I didn't know who it was until he wrote, but he's written at least one book on Johnny Cash. He knew Johnny Cash for a long time. He's friends with his family, and he said he'd play Wesley's video for Roseanne Cash and the rest of the family.
Wow.
And I gotta say, Wesley's had a lot of requests to go on television shows, and that's been exciting for me. Although I have some concerns about it and everything, but it is exciting to see your student just having all this popularity. It's nice to see. But out of everything that's happened, that email, that comment on my blog was the coolest thing that's happened.
Yeah,
The thought of Roseanne Cash hearing that song and, just having that connection with the Cash family. I'm a huge Johnny Cash fan, too. That was just so cool.
Absolutely. I mean, I think you said it. You said, wow, that's one step away from the man himself. I mean, that really, he's not going to hear it, but the fact is, wow. I mean, that must have been a very cool thing. Are you going to, is he going to do any TV stuff, or you're not sure yet?
Mom's still thinking about it.
Yeah.
She definitely doesn't want to put Wesley in a position where he has a traumatic experience. Like if he, if they fly to New York or something, he's 5 years old. So he's going to be hammered by jet lag and 5-year-olds are just unpredictable. Maybe he's going to have a bad day,
I mean, I can say, having done, I used to do PR, having taken clients on shows, I mean, you know, the bigger networks are better than the smaller ones and whatever, but it's not always a positive experience, I mean, you know, and especially for a kid who doesn't know what to do with it. And again, I'm not saying don't do it, I'm just, I can understand the hesitation, whereas some people might say, of course, you'd have to, you know, and you don't have to.
On the other hand, you know, it could be a really fun family adventure. And Wesley loves to be on stage. He thrives on being an entertainer, as most of my students do. You know, a lot of my students are attracted to music because they want to share it with other people. So, I think that impulse is fine, and you want to try to encourage that. I don't know if being on a big TV show is.
If you have somebody nice who's doing it, I mean, again, I mean, I even had a stint on the People's Court, which is a much longer story, but they pay the bill. Let me put it that way. If you lose, they pay the bill. It was worth it.
Yeah.
But there's better and worse producers. You know, there's people who are nicer and less nice. And I would say the higher up you go, you know, usually the better off you are. But I think for some people they would say, well, how could you not put them on TV? And I guess what I'm saying is I understand the hesitation. I can see where you're concerned.
It all needs to be measured on the effect on the child, I think. You know, that what drives me nuts is when parents sees an opportunity to use their children for their own quest for fame or attention or money. That's I think, just totally immoral.
Right. I agree.
So whatever the family does, they should be the first question. And Wesley's parents, you know, they totally feel this way too. It should all be measured by the effect on the kid.
Well, I love it. Obviously, 500,000 other people love it. I want to thank Rob Hampton, HeartwoodGuitar.com. And boy, do I wish he was in New York, but he's in Seattle. It sounds like, from what I understand, you've got a 5-year waiting list for students. So I don't know if I could. I wish I could say, hey, you know, go call him up, but call him up and be prepared to wait. I guess that's a fair statement.
Buy my book when I write it. I'm writing a book teaching other guitar teachers how to run a successful business. So
you should also, you might want to consider, you know, not to give you career goals here, but I think you've hit on a couple of things about teaching music to kids that I personally think are very unique. I mean, even something as simple as just have them play the bass line. I mean, I tried to teach both of my kids to play a little bit, and that just never occurred to me. It's obvious. I feel like it should have occurred to me, but it didn't because that's not how I was taught. I was taught, you got to play an E chord, and, you know, a 5-year-old hand can't do that.
No. Cool.
The E11th, that's the one. If you just play the whole thing open, isn't that an E11?
Yeah.
And it's the opening of Hard Day's Night.
E minor 11, right?
But that's the first chord of Hard Day's Night.
You're right.
So that's
Brett
was.
Brett, let's co-author a book. Okay.
I would love to. But the thing is, like, that only gets you so far. Like, it's almost like a party trick. You know?
Yeah.
And but for a kid, you know, it's like bump bump. But I mean, I was impressed, and I may steal that at least with my own kids. But
feel free.
But thank you very much. If you do a book, then please let me know because I would love to talk to you again. And
cool.
We'll keep watching for Wesley.
Cool. Awesome, Brett. Good to talk to you.
You too. Thanks so much.
Take care.
See you all next week. Brett Singer, thank you to my guest, Rob Hampton, and we'll see you next week.